Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STAND. Normally, I would introduce our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson, but Bishop Jackson is traveling today, so I will be your host for the call. So let's go ahead and open with prayer, and then I'll introduce our speaker. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to be on the call today. Thank you for these patriots and these warriors who stand for truth, who stand for what we believe to be the greatest nation in the history of the world. We thank you so much for the United States of America, for the Constitution that you enabled the founders to put together, and the wisdom that went into it. And we know, Lord, right now we're under attack from a lot of different areas, and we know that you're aware of all of those things that are coming against us. We're going to be talking about some of that today. So I thank you for those who have done the work, like Scott Walter, who have done the work to expose some of the attacks that the enemy is bringing against this great country. So Lord, guide us today. Give us the wisdom and the understanding to know not just what's happening, but what we ought to do about it. And so, again, guide us, show us what you would have us to do, and we'll give you praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I mentioned in the prayer, our guest is Scott Walters. Scott is the president of Capital Research Center and a former assistant, a special assistant to President George W. Bush for domestic policy. And there's probably a lot of other accolades I could give in his bio, but we'll just let him explain anything that he wants to explain about who he is and what he has done. Our subject today is dark money, and that's a term we hear tossed around from time to time, but Scott has done some really good research on that, and so I'll turn it over to him and let him explain the research that he's done. So Scott, the floor is yours.
Well, thank you so much. It's an honor to be here, and I apologize for my poor voice. I'm getting over a cold. But my new book, which you can get on Amazon or anywhere else, is called Arabella, The Dark Money Network Used by Billionaires to Secretly Transform America. So since I've got a nice evangelical audience here, let's just start with that name for a second. I don't know if Arabella rings a bell or not, but the ship Arabella was the ship that carried John Winthrop to America, and you know, one of the great early evangelical leaders. Now, why would this left-wing network call one of its entities Arabella? It's Arabella Advisors is the full name. The network was started in 2005, and that was one of the times when lefties were trying hard to infiltrate and seduce the evangelical world, especially in the area of environmentalism. The founder of Arabella Advisors is a big environmentalist. Arabella does probably a third of its work still in environmental issues, although they cover many other issues, and I have to assume that they picked the name Arabella in hopes that that would sound have nice echoes in evangelical ears. If you know your history, the ship Arabella started out to America in the year 1630, and guess what? There is another part of the Arabella network called the 1630 Fund. And there's another part of the network called Hopewell Fund, which was the name of another ship, Hopewell. I think that the main thing I would stress on all that is these are probably people who are going to try to seduce you, persuade you, fool you with their policy efforts. Now, I'll give you just a quick overview here in the next 5 or 10 minutes of what the Arabella network looks like and how it functions. I'm going to talk in this order. I'm going to give you its size and money, and then what they fund, and then who funds them, how the money flows, and what can be done about it. So on this, to start with just the size, and I hope you're sitting down, because in the 2020 election cycle, so that's the years 19 and 20, Arabella's nonprofits raised $2.4 billion with a B. That was $1 billion more than the Republican National Committee and the Democratic National Committee combined. Now, in the 2020 cycle, you might think, well, that's an off year, so probably slipped a little, right? Wrong. They didn't raise $2.4 billion in 22 cycle. They raised $3 billion. And that was more than the RNC and DNC, plus the Democratic House and Senate committees, plus the Republican House and Senate committees. All those political operations put together still fell short of Arabella's fundraising by $500 million. So you may not have heard of Arabella and its network, but they have been powerfully active in American politics. Now, next to the question of what do they fund with all those billions? Well, the short answer is everything left wing. As I noted, they are especially keen on every kind of environmental effort, including an entity that helped to spark the push to try to ban gas stoves, natural gas stoves, and many other environmental things. They are also probably the biggest abortion advocacy funder in the country. Another thing they've funded is the entire regulatory agenda for the Biden administration. And that started in 2019, 2 years before the Biden administration was even sworn in. And it was extra secret. It's a fascinating story if you go to capitalresearch.org and look up the Arabella entity that did this, called Governing for Impact. Governing for Impact at capitalresearch.org. You can get the whole story. But they had a secret website, and they worked with Harvard Law School folks to put together dozens and dozens of legal strategy memos, very sophisticated legal strategy memos, to run the entire regulatory machinery of the Biden administration. Now, again, they were active in dozens of different areas with this, but the most famous one, and one I think your listeners will recognize easily, you remember this year the Department of Education put out a new regulation under Title IX that, among other things, is egging schools into having men in women's sports. Well, guess what? That regulation began in the Arabella Advisors Network, and then they were very skillfully infiltrating and operating the Biden administration's regulatory machinery. Another area they fund in, Medicaid expansion, and yet another area, they are one of the biggest state ballot initiative funders across America. Now, I'm sure all of your pro-life listeners realize that there are a bunch of states where the left is getting on the ballot, ballot initiatives to enshrine abortion in state laws and state constitutions. They, of course, are doing this for two reasons. First, of course, you know, they are pro-abortion, so they certainly like the policy involved. But I don't think that's the strongest motivation for them. I think the strongest motivation is that they see these ballot initiatives as a way to drive their voters to the polls, right? Young people, unmarried women, some other demographics like that, they think can be turned out using the ballot initiatives as a spur. Yet another area they fund in, they are one of the biggest players in House and Senate races for funding through 501c4s. Now, I know people's eyes glaze over when you start talking tax code, but it's important to understand that 501c4s are political nonprofits that are very powerful in politics and on both sides. My two favorite examples on the right and left for C4 nonprofits are, on the right, the National Rifle Association is the C4, and on the left, the League of Conservation Voters is the C4. Folks like that, groups like that, are powerful actors in our political drama. Yet another area where they fund, Zuckbucks. I'm sure your well-informed listeners remember back in 2020, Mark Zuckerberg and his wife gave hundreds of millions of dollars to local election offices to try to boost turnout. The money was extremely skewed in the way that it was sent out. Hilariously, they like to say, "Oh, we funded more Trump jurisdictions, local jurisdictions, than Biden jurisdictions," which is absolutely true. But of course, if I'm giving away hundreds of millions of dollars, do you want to know the number of grants that I gave out, or do you want to know the amount of money I gave out? Well, obviously, the amount of money is more important. And as we have documented at capitalresearch.org for all of the battleground states, and you can download our Excel spreadsheets and crunch the numbers yourself if you don't believe me. But for all the battleground states, the money was skewed massively toward the jurisdictions that had the most Democratic votes, and it worked to boost their turnout. And so, again, factor in our politics and our elections. Well, Zuckerberg gave $420 million for all that in 2020. But what didn't get reported until a year later, because Arabella Advisors Network didn't have to report publicly until a year after the election, was the fact that one of the Arabella nonprofits gave $25 million on top of Zuckerberg's $420 million. So, and to this day, Arabella's network is working with the main Zuckbucks grantee to continue to try to get to manipulate local election offices. Now we turn to the who funds them question, and that too is real simple. Pretty much everybody on the left. Yes, George Soros, but also George Soros's donor cabal. It's called the Democracy Alliance. It's about 100 billionaires and centimillionaires on the left, and also the Gates Foundation and many other left-wing foundations like Ford and the rest. One donor I'd especially note is the Swiss national Hans-Jürg Wyss. Now, you may never have heard of him either, but he too is a very big player in our politics. He doesn't get exposed the way he should be. He is not an American citizen. He does not even have a green card. He's a Swiss national, but he has contributed in the past decade and a half $250 million to the Arabella network. He's also given $250 million more dollars to other left-wing nonprofits. So a very big player in our politics, who keeps a low profile because, of course, he's not an American citizen. And, you know, this is not a partisan issue. This is not a conservative liberal issue. Over virtually every American doesn't want foreigners meddling in our elections, of course. And yet this man has been doing it massively for going on two decades. Now, how does the money flow is the next question. And for this, I'd ask you to think of a pyramid. At the top of the pyramid, you have Arabella Advisors, which is a for-profit PR consulting firm. In the middle of the pyramid, you have a half dozen nonprofits that technically hire that Arabella Advisors firm to operate themselves. Those nonprofits are both are multiple legal types, including C4s, like I mentioned before. But that's the middle of the pyramid. At the base of the pyramid, we have what your listeners actually see. At the base of the pyramid, you have over 500 projects. and they're little astroturf groups, that is to say they're fake grassroots groups. They want you to think that these are your neighbors upset about something. And so they give them wonderful names. I give them great credit. Floridians for a fair shake. Keep Iowa healthy. Michigan families for economic prosperity. Center for secure and modern elections. Man, all those things are wonderful, right? He doesn't want Iowans to be healthy. But what those things are, it's not groups of your neighbors getting together to be active in public policy and politics. No. What happened is some guy in Arabella's D.C. offices was handed a new accounting code to create Keep Iowans Healthy. And he quickly set up a little website and maybe bought some Facebook ads. And that's what it is. It's not your fellow citizens. Now, last question we should face is there anything that can be done about all this? And first of all, I know you may be feeling intimidated by all these billions of dollars and hundreds of groups and dozens of issues. But honestly, the first thing that needs to be done and that's very effective is simply what we're doing right this second, namely educating the public and the political class about Arabella. Because, you know, Arabella is effectively a Wizard of Oz operation. Now, if you think back to the movie, when Dorothy first sees the wizard, he's big, he's scary, she's intimidated, right? But then later, the curtain gets pulled back and you see the Grand Wizard is just some old guy at a microphone. Well, as I said, in this case, it's just some doofus sitting in a D.C. office concocting a little website. You don't have to be scared of that. You don't have to be intimidated by that. Their scam only works if people think that Keep Iowans Healthy is a bunch of Iowans demanding something. And if they know it's just some guy in a D.C. office, well, the intimidation factor is massively reduced. I will say I'm proud to brag that we've been able to get over the last few years since we first discovered Arabella, because Capital Research Center was the first place ever to write up Arabella and explain what it's doing. We've succeeded in getting even mainstream media to cover it now. There have been very damning articles about Arabella in the New York Times and the Atlantic and more. That's also a problem for Arabella. A year or so ago, they had to lay off 10% of their workforce. So, you know, they're still big and bad, but they're not really thriving. Let's see. There are a few things that you might think could help, but I want to be sure to say would not. One is government coerced donor disclosure. People have a right in this country to be able to contribute and join organizations without being outed to the public. That's a very important right. It was established in the 1950s in a famous Supreme Court case where the racists, I hate to say they were all members of the Democratic Party, but the racists in Alabama were trying to shut down the NAACP and were demanding its membership list and its donor list. And the Supreme Court said, you don't have a right to those. And the persons involved have a right to their privacy. You know, it's government that should be transparent. But private people, they have rights to private association. Another thing that's not going to help is a better IRS enforcement of our rules for nonprofits, because I hate to tell you, but the Lois Lerners of the world are always going to be in charge. You probably remember the Lois Lerner scandal about a decade ago. She was harassing Tea Party groups in the 2012 election cycle. Well, she's gone. But she wasn't punished. In fact, you're paying her pension right now. I'm sure you're proud. And you can be sure the people who replace her aren't going to be any better. So that's not a solution. There are some good bills that could be helpful. One would be that those C4 political nonprofit groups be forbidden to give to super PACs if they take foreign money. because a foreigner can't give to a super PAC, so why should he be able to give to a C4 that gives to a super PAC? Another thing that would be powerful would be, and has been proposed in Congress, would be to say that charities, that's the 501c3 groups, they can't fund or carry out voter registration or local election administration. That would ban Zuckbucks. Now, I'm proud to say 28 states have already banned or restricted Zuckbuck operations, but there's more to be done. State attorneys general oversee the nonprofit sector in their state. They could do investigations and penalize bad actors. Lawsuits occasionally would be appropriate for going after some of these folks, and there's been a few of those launched already. So I'll wrap up with that, and I'm happy to take questions.
Thank you, Scott. I really appreciate all of that information because, like I said at the beginning, we hear the term dark money tossed around, but, how many of us actually understand what it is and where it comes from? So this has been very, very helpful. You kind of answered the question that I wanted to start with. By the way, for those listening, press *6 to get in queue if you have a question for Scott. But what I wanted to ask you was what to do about it, and you've kind of already answered that. But one thing that popped up in that answer was the idea of nonprofits not doing voter registrations and those kinds of things. Which so I'd like you to expand on that a bit. There are a lot of churches and other politically leaning, but other 501c3s that do voter registration, are you saying that it would be a good idea to ban churches from voter registration? Would that be included in what you're proposing?
Sure. Well, let's make sure people understand our terms here. Churches are, legally speaking, charitable organizations. So all charitable organizations, whether it's a church or Goodwill or the Boy Scouts, or except they're not even Boy Scouts anymore, but whatever they call themselves now, these groups, these kind of things are all charitable organizations, which means they are under by legally speaking, they are 501c3 nonprofits. And the C3 nonprofits are the only ones that you get a tax deduction for giving money to. If you give money to a C4, like the League of Conservation Voters, you don't get a tax deduction. They are a nonprofit, meaning they don't pay taxes, but their donors don't get tax deductions. Now, the sad thing is, and you're quite right to raise the question you do, the sad thing is that lots of churches have traditionally helped their members get registered, right? And it is not illegal for a C3 to register folks. But the problem is that the left has abused this to an enormous extent. And you have to go to capitalresearch.org and just search for how charities help the left win elections, because the left-wing operation in this area for decades now has been massive, and they know perfectly well. Here's what the law says. A charitable organization, like a church or like an advocacy group, right, can register voters and can even help them get to the polls as long as all this is done in a nonpartisan manner, right? So yes, it's legal if it's nonpartisan. Well, of course, that's a very fuzzy line. And I promise you that the left knows perfectly well that its charitable groups are registering and getting out exactly the voters that the left needs to win elections, period. In fact, I can quote you left-leaning mainstream media reporters who are explicit about this. There's a group, I bet a lot of your listeners live in states where this group is even active. It's called the Voter Participation Center. It is a C3 charitable organization. And there's a superb book called The Victory Lab, The Secret Science of Winning Campaigns, that says of this charitable organization, officially it was nonpartisan for tax purposes, but everyone knew that all its efforts were aimed at getting new votes for Democrats. Now, that's totally illegal for a charitable group to do that. And a liberal reporter, whose book was reviewed glowingly by the Washington Post, is explicit that they are making a mockery of that law. So because the left is misbehaving so badly, and because this is such a critical part of the left's ability to win elections and take power, I regretfully think that all C3s should, that the law should be changed. And instead of saying you can do it as long as it's nonpartisan, the law should say, hey, it's too hard to be certain whether you're being nonpartisan, so you just can't do it. That leaves plenty of other groups to do voter registration. C4 groups like, let's say, the National Rifle Association, League of Conservation Voters, many, many others, they can register voters, the parties can register voters, PACs can register voters, but because of the level of abuse over time, I think that all the C3s, unfortunately, even including churches, ought to be changed. Now, let me stop, however, and immediately say, that's what I'd like to see. That is not what the law is now. So I absolutely think that conservatives should make as much use of the law as it stands as possible. So I'm not saying that your church this weekend shouldn't register voters. I'm saying in an ideal world, no C3s would be registering voters. Right now it's legal. Don't let me remotely rain on anybody's parade.
Yeah, I'm glad you clarified that, because I guess my vision of a church registering voters goes back to Jerry Falwell, Thomas Road Baptist Church, where he would have his annual voter registration. But yet also, thinking about all those predominantly black churches that would be registering only Democrats. So I get your point there. So appreciate that. Okay, let's go ahead and take some calls, Vanity. Go right ahead.
Hello?
Tricia?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay, yeah. My question is the voter ID, which I hope becomes a requirement in every state, but would that do anything to offset this? And does this organization, Arabella, oppose voter ID? And I'd like to know Scott's take on what he thinks is going to happen that's going to possibly keep us from being able to vote in November. What crisis will involve? Thank you.
Thank you, Tricia.
Yeah, Pastor, could you give me I didn't hear the last part of the very last part of the question clearly.
Go ahead, Tricia. Repeat the last part.
The last part was, I'd like to know Scott's view of what will happen that may stop the election in November or allow elections up again. Thank you.
Okay, well, let me start with the first part. On voter ID, this is good news. Namely, voter ID is overwhelmingly supported by Americans. Americans of every color, Americans of both parties, Americans who voted for Joe Biden in 2020. There's virtually no group in America that doesn't support voter ID, except, of course, for our hideous, biased left-wing press. Among the mainstream media, if you support voter ID, they're going to say you're a Klansman, right? Even though the support for voter ID among blacks and Hispanics is over 80%, right? So voter ID is a very valuable thing. It's a very common sense thing. And even better news is that since 2020, when the left has been trying to claim that any sort of election integrity efforts, including voter ID, are racist and monstrous. Well, they've totally failed in persuading Americans, because the support for voter ID has only grown year over year since 2020. And by the way, this is an important, bigger point. Again, I know when people listen to me and I spell out how rich and big and well-organized the left is, it's intimidating, it's scary, it's depressing. But you've got to remember, most people actually agree with us, right? 3/4 of Americans probably agree with at least 3/4 of what people on this call believe in, including voter ID. This is why the left's number one agenda item always is to shut us up, to cancel us, to deplatform us. It's terribly dangerous if ordinary Americans are talking to each other and discover that they agree with each other on things like voter ID.
And I think the second part of that question, Scott, was what do you see any efforts being made to either shut down the election or keep us from voting in the November election?
No, I don't. Now, there was a House member who made an appalling comment some weeks back, saying that is roughly saying if Trump wins, then on January 6th, when the Congress is counting the Electoral College votes, they'll have to disqualify him. That was a very ugly comment, but I don't think that should be taken too seriously. The left is much more about turning out, its number one priority is turning out its vote. And I don't often admire the left about much, but one thing I do admire is they never give up fighting, right? I think our side is has a little more tendency to throw up our hands and say, oh, it's too hard, it's too daunting. The left never does that. Even if they're crushed in a defeat, they will bounce right back the next day and start fighting again. That's something we need to emulate. The last time I checked, if you're a Christian, you've got a very short and simple job description. Pick up that cross every day and carry it. Don't complain that it's heavy. Don't complain the road is steep. Don't complain people are attacking you. Pick up your cross and carry it.
Amen. Amen. I understand the comment there of the left will, even if defeated, will pick up the next day. They may change. They may change the name of their project. They may change their strategy a little bit, but they will not quit. Let's take another call.
Hi, Scott. Hi. Thank you so much. This is Rosemary from Media, Pennsylvania. And my question is, these million-dollar, billion-dollar supporters for Arabelle Network, are they the big fuelers, money supporters of these 15-minute cities that are starting globally?
I'm not aware of Arabelle being mixed up in that, but I wouldn't say it can't. I mean, nobody knows everything that they do. I suspect not even their own leaders know everything, because they're into so many things. But I'm not aware of a connection.
All right, one more.
Well, hi, Scott. This is Jose from the Democratic People's Republic of California. And my question is, do you see things, this might be a little off topic, but even legislation like the Inflation Reduction Act, allegedly the largest funded legislation in the history of mankind, and how some of those funds are misappropriated to leftist movements? And a second one would be like the Sam Waterman Banks, I believe it was, with the FTX scandal, cryptocurrency. Much of that money ends up coming back to the Democratic Party. Would you call that dark money, and how do you stop those things? God bless.
Well, thanks. Sam Bankman-Fried, I believe you is referencing at the end there about the cryptocurrency billionaire. but also involved in huge fraud. There's a great connection to what I've been talking to with him. His mommy, Barbara Fried, and her husband, they are both Stanford Law School professors. And mommy started a group called Mind the Gap. Mind the Gap. And again, you can go to capitalresearch.org and search for Mind the Gap and get the whole story. But it's a super PAC set up to help Silicon Valley billionaires like her son invest their money to help the left win elections. And they had a secret memo that they sent to donors back in the 2020 cycle. And guess what it said? It said that the absolute best thing to put your money in is carefully targeted C3 charitable groups that are going to register and turn out the right voters. And they explicitly endorsed that voter participation center that you heard me talking about before as one of the worst abusers in this area. So the money behind tech the money of tech tycoons like Sam Bankman-Fried is absolutely going into the kinds of things I've been talking about. It is very mixed up in that. And I apologize, Pastor, I forget the first part of the question was?
I'm not clear on that either. I think Jose's still on. Let's get him to read. What was the first part, Jose?
Sure. So it's taking national legislation that's got the appearance of rule of law and validity.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Sorry. Yeah, I apologize. To me, the gist of that is when Congress passes big fat bills with your money, does it go into these kinds of channels? And I wouldn't call that dark money, because if you're good, you can trace the money, you can see where the money is going. But it is absolutely one of the left's favorite things to do, is to have government at all levels put money into their nonprofits to enhance those nonprofits' ability to meddle in politics and public policy. During the last Republican administration, Capital Research Center and other watchdog groups tried to dig into this, because, of course, just because you have a new president doesn't mean you have a new Department of Education or a new Department of Health and Human Services, or, you know, the deep state, which is really just the permanent bureaucrats. They have a lot of power. It's hard even to figure out what they're doing. And the lefties are always finding ways to get money from taxpayers to their activist groups to cause more trouble. That's a big problem.
Well, thank you, Scott, for being on the call today. I really appreciate all this good information and the encouragement that there are some things that we can do about it, and that is a very helpful aspect to what you had to share with us today. How do people find out more about what you're doing and keep in touch with you?
Capitalresearch.org. You can connect with me there. You can see a lot of our research. The other really great thing that we do that I'm so proud of is influencewatch.org. Influencewatch.org, because that is our Wikipedia of the left. You can learn every group I mentioned. You can look them up there and learn enormously more about what they're up to.
Well, again, thank you, Scott, for being on the call today, and hope to have you back at some point and continue this very enlightening conversation. So God bless you for the work that you're doing, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
Well, thank you again for all of you for being on the call today. really appreciative of your participation. Right now, we're doing a call every other week rather than every week. When we get into closer to the election season in the month of October, we'll be going back to an every week call. But just appreciative of your participation and what you bring to the National Awakening Conference call. Do want to remind you that we are, as if you don't know, we are in an election season, and there's a lot of work to do. And one of our main issues right now is, as Bishop has entitled it, "Motivate Christians Elect Donald Trump." That's through the PAC. That's through Stand America PAC. You can go to standamericapac.us. You want to check it out and hopefully make a donation. Our goal is to raise some funds that we can purchase some ads in some of these very significant states like Pennsylvania, Georgia, some of the ones that really have a large black population, because that's, of course, Bishop Jackson's especially reaching into the black community and letting them know that, wait a minute, the Democrats are not doing doing you any good. And like Scott said earlier, you know, actually a large percentage of black citizens, as well as very definitely black believers, would agree with conservative principles, but they've been told that Republicans and conservatives are racist, and so, you know, they continue to vote Democrat. So we need to make some changes in that, and how we do that is we place ads, radio ads, and hopefully some TV ads in some of these communities, so that they recognize that, wait a minute, we've been voting against ourselves by voting for Democrats. And so, again, go to Stand America PAC, standamericapac.us, and check out what we're trying to do there. The other thing that I want to emphasize today before we conclude is America's Forgotten Children. Again, you can go to americasforgottenchildren.com, americasforgottenchildren.org, either one will work. And look at that. We now have, since the George Floyd incident, we now have 649 innocent children who have been shot and killed in our various communities, not just inner city, most of them inner city. Again, Chicago is the main culprit in this, but all over the country, literally, innocent children being shot and killed. Simply as Bishop emphasizes, sleeping in their beds, riding in their parents' cars, walking down the street, playing in their yards, you know, all kinds of different situations. But we want to bring attention to that, because the media simply ignores this issue, and we'd like to make sure that people realize what's happening in our cities and in our communities. With the lives of our children. So go ahead and check that out as well, americasforgottenchildren.com, americasforgottenchildren.org, and standamericapac.us. Those are our two main issues right now. I don't think I have the quote down exactly, but I know Bishop would conclude with stand up, speak up, and refuse to back up. I think I'm missing a step in there, but stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we do not quit, because we are on God's side. God bless you.